We're over here on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara, after the two dots, begins the discussion. How do we know, this topic that we've been discussing until now, that Dinei Mamonis B'Shloisha, that we require three Dayanim for Dinei Mamonis, ideally by all Dinei Mamonis, how do we know the source for that halacha that it's three Dayanim? So the Gemara brings three psukim, which discuss Dayanim, B'nikra Ba'o Ba'is Elho Elohim, Ado Elohim Yavod Var Shnehem, Asher Yashin Elohim, three psukim, which imply that it's three dayanim. Then the Gemara says no, because everyone holds kuliyama ain darshin tchilas. The first time the pasuk says something, we can't learn that, use that as a drasha. So it had to say one time to tell us what we're talking about. You have to come before judges. The whole introduce us to the concept of judges. Then the next two, you can darshin for two dayanim. So at most we see from the psukim is that you need two dayanim. So how do you get to three? So that's a machlokes between Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonason. Rabbi Yonason says the way that you know you get to three is because ain based in shokel. You cannot have an even based in. Because if you have an even based in, how you adjudicate matters? It'll be a tie half the time. So if you have two dayanim, so one will say, well, the two Jews, you definitely have two opinions. You might have more. So you're never going to be able to judge anything. So ain based in shokel, he says, makes no sense to have it like that. So must be, we have to add a third dayan in order to resolve the din Torah. So that's how he gets the three dayanim, because ain based in shokel. Rabbi Yoshia says, no, it's not going, and he has a source for this halacha, based on lintois acharei rabim lahatois. The pasuk in Parshas, where is that? Mishpatim, I believe. That you should follow the rive. So if you're going to follow the rive, must be that it's ain based in shakel, it's not an even based in. What is Rabbi Yoshia? Rabbi Yoshia disagrees. He says, no, the way you get to three dayanim is because the first time the pasuk says Elohim, it didn't have to say Elohim. It could have said Shofet. Poshet. What does it have to say? A fancy language, Elohim. So from that, even though for the first time the pasuk says something you can't darshan, here it uses a unique word. So from the fact that he uses the word Elohim, oh, now we can derive a third dayan. But the Gemara says it sounds like Rabbi Yoshi was not compelled by the svar of ain based in shokel, that you can't have an even based in order to add the third dayan. That wasn't good enough for him to add a third dayan. No, he didn't care about the fact that it would be an even based in. He didn't have a problem with the even based in. It's not a problem for Rabbi Yoshi. Where did he get the third dayan from? From the fact that it says Elohim instead of Shofet. What does he do with the pasuk of Rabbi Yonason of lintais acharei rabim lahatois? What does he do with that pasuk? So Gemara says that's by dinei nefashis. By dinei nefashis, he agrees you need to follow a rov. You can't have an even based in. Why? Because that in order to be melamed schus, we know one dayan can be melamed schus. So even if there's one dayan that, you know, there's a dayan that's more, one more than the other ones, meaning more dayanim, then think that he's innocent and think that he's guilty, so we'll definitely be malamit schus based on the rive of one dayan. So if we'll be malamit schus based on the rive of one dayan, stands to reason we'll be machayev based on a rive as well. So by dinei nefashis, he said we go based on rive. And therefore you need, if you're going to go based on rive dayanim, you must have what? You must have an odd number of dayanim in order to have a rive, otherwise you'll have a tie. Okay, so by dinei nefashis, since we know we can be melamed zchus based on a roiv dayanim, we can also be mechayev based on a roiv dayanim, and must be that it's an odd number of dayanim by dinei nefashis. But by dinei mamonis, no, it could have been an even based in. And he's not compelled by the svar to add a third dayan because ain based in shakel, you can't have an even based in, it'll turn out to be a majority. That doesn't bother him. The only reason we have a third dayan is because there's a third pasuk. It says Ado Elohim Yavod Vashem. It could have said El Hashofet, V'nikra Baal Habayis El Hashofet, as opposed to V'nikra Baal Habayis El Elohim. From the fact that he used a unique language, we have a third dayan. It's odd, but it didn't have to be odd. It could have been even numbered. What that implies is, Rabbi Yisai, and this is the tricky part of the Gemara. Rashi explains it, but you have to chop over here. Is that the Gemara then says, well, if that's the case, then Rabbi Yoshia does not follow Rav Dayanim. When it comes to Nefashis, Rabbi Yoshia will follow Rav. That's why he has a Rav L'schus to be Melam L'schus, so Rav to be Mechayev. So you have to have an odd number of Dayanim. But when it comes to Dinei Mamonis, No, we don't follow Roiv. If you don't follow Roiv, he says, I don't care if you have an even Beis Din. Why? Because in order to be Mechayev, money, how many Dayanim should you need? All of them. Meaning it should have been, if you have four Dayanim, all four have to be Mechayev. Or if you have three Dayanim, all three have to be Mechayev. You don't follow Roiv. So that's why he says, I don't care how many Dayanim there are. There could be two, there could be four, six. It could be even. Why? Because in order to be Mechayev, you don't follow a simple Roiv. What should you have followed? Should have needed all of the Dayanim. In the Nefashos, we know you follow Roiv. That's Lintos Achari Ravim Lahatos. But by a Beis Din of Dinei Mamonis, Rabbi Yaishi says you really shouldn't have followed Roiv. So if you're not going to follow Roiv, you need a unanimous psak from the Beis Din. Why do I need an odd number of Dayanim? I could have an even number of Dayanim if I need a unanimous psak. That's the Gemara's question. That's where the Gemara stands according to Rabbi Yoshua. Then the Gemara asks, but we have a Braisa, a Mishnah, I'm sorry, Shnayim Oimrim Zakai, must be from later on in the Masechta. Chav Tesem et Aleph. Two say Ischai Zakai, one says Ischaiv. We follow the Roiv. Oh, so you see it's a Mishnah that we follow the Roiv even by Dine Mominis. It's a Kasha on Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua should have said it's unanimous Dayanim. You don't have to have an odd number of Dayanim because you don't follow Roiv when it comes to Mominis. Nefashos, yes. Achrei Rabin Lintos, Achrei Rabin Lahatos. But not by Mominis. No Roiv. Oh, but the Mishnah says you follow Roiv. Roiv Dayanim. Two say Yechayiv. You know, one says Yezakai, Yechayiv. Two say Yezakai, one says Yechayiv, Yezakai. So the Gemara says, Le'aylam even Rabbi Yoshua follows Roiv when it comes to Dayanim by Dinei Mominis. But not because it was, you know, we follow Roiv because of the pasuk of Lintos Achrei Rabin Lahatos. No. That pasuk is only by Nefoshes. How do you know you follow Roiv Dayanim when it comes to Mominis? How do we know when monetary matters? We don't need all of the Dayanim to be unanimous in their psak. How do you know that you can follow even the Roiv Dayanim? Says the Gemara, last line before the two dots. Zilbasa ruba di, because Amar Achmana, no, umad dine nefoshes techamiri, dine nefoshes which is so chomer, Amar Achmana zilbasa ruba, by dine nefoshes which is life and death, literally, we follow Roiv, dine mamin is lo kol sheken. If you don't need a unanimous psak when it comes to a capital case, you certainly do not need a unanimous psak when it comes to litigation about money. That's how the Gemara knows you don't need a unanimous psak. It's a no, you can follow Roiv even according to Rabbi Yoshua. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. Everyone holds in the end, just a question how we arrived there, but everyone holds you need three Dayanim, and everyone holds we will follow Roiv. If two say Yechayiv, Yechayiv, two out of three. If two say Yezakai, Yezakai. But according to Rabbi Yoshua, it was learned out of a Kal V'chaimer from Dinei Nefashos, where the pasuk says, "Lintos achri rabim lahatos." Since by dine nefashos we follow roiv dayanim, you don't need a unanimous psak. When it comes to dine mominis too, we follow roiv dayanim. You do not need a unanimous psak. Okay, that's where the Gemara ends. Tosfos divrei maskil dine asks a fantastic question, which Tosfos asks in numerous places. He has a kasha based on the Gemara in Bava Basra. It's also a Gemara in Bava Kama. I gave you over here in the Mar Mekaymas the Gemara in Bava Kama. And Daf Mem Vav Amid Aleph, where the Gemara says that by money ain holchin b'mamon achar haroiv. Again, our Gemara says we learn a Kal V'chaimer from the Nefashos. Nefashos, we follow roiv dayanim. So too by mamonis we follow roiv dayanim. So ask Tosfos, well, if we're going to learn a Kal V'chaimer from the Nefashos to mamon, Nefashos we follow, you don't need a unanimous psak. You follow roiv dayanim. Mamon also, you don't need a unanimous psak. We can follow Roiv Dayanim. You don't need all three Dayanim to agree, even if two. So Tosfos is going to ask, how come in other areas we don't learn a Kal V'chaimer from the Nefashos to Mamon? Where is such an example? So an example might be following Roiv in general. Because the Gemara tells us in Maseches Bava Kama, over here, Mem Vav Amid Aleph, HaMoicha Shor L'Chaveiro V'Nim Sanakhon. A person sells an ox to his friend, and it turns out to be aggressive. And it gores. Guess what happens if it gores, Rabbi Yisai? Either it's going to be put to death if it killed somebody, or he's now became a liability. It's going to cost me money. So I never intended to buy such an aggressive ox. I want to return it. Rav Oma Hareza Mekachtos. No problem. Return the ox. You get your money back. Store credit. Vishmuel Omar. Yochel sheyoyim eloy l'shchit emecharetiv l'cho. Shmuel says, no, you do not get your money back. Because the owner who sold it to you can always say, I thought you were going to shecht it. If you're going to shecht it, what do you care that it's aggressive? It's going to be dead. You don't care. So Rav omar hareza mekachtos. Why then does Rav say it's a mekachtos? Maybe the guy could say legitimately, I thought you were going to buy it to shecht it. So Rav omar hareza mekachtos, zil basar ruba, follow the roiv. Veruba de inchi l'rad Yehuda Zavni. Most people who buy animals do not buy it to shecht. Most people are not in the slaughtering business, but everyone was a farmer. So most people buy an animal. What do they intend for the animal to do? They intend for the animal to graze. Ruba l'rad Yehuda Zavni. So Rav says, I can come back to the owner and say, what in the world did you think I was going to shecht? Do I look like a shecht? I own a farm. I don't shecht behemoth gasses. I don't know, you know. I don't do that. It's not my business. I'm a farmer. So what right did you have to think I was going to shecht it? Follow the roiv. Roiv people had no intention to buy it to shecht. Shmuel amar. But Shmuel says no. Yochel sheyoyim aloy. The end of the second line. L'shchita mechartiv l'choy. He can say, I sold it to you. To shecht. V'loy azlin on basar ruba. You cannot follow the roiv to take money out of my pocket. You want your money back? Prove that I sold you a defective product. This product is not defective. I thought you were going to use it to shecht. So that, the onus of proof is now on you. Ah, rove people do not intend to shecht. Okay, but rove is not good enough proof to extract money from someone else's pocket. Loi azlinam basaruba, ki azlinam basaruba bi isura. When do we follow roiv? When it's isa v'heter. I want to know if a piece of meat is kosher or treif. So you follow, and I find a piece of meat in the middle of St. Nicholas Avenue. I want to know if the meat is kosher or treif. I would venture to guess that it's treif. But if you find a piece of meat on, Kikar Shabbos, it's probably kosher meat. I wouldn't eat it out other reasons, but it's probably kosher meat. I'm saying, where did treif meat come from? Roiv meat that passes through Kikar Shabbos is probably kosher meat. So if that's the case, they probably assume it's kosher. That's halacha of roiv. Roiv stores that sell meat are kosher. It's probably kosher meat. So when do you follow roiv? Yeah, meat is kosher, treif, things like that. When it comes to money, roiv is not good enough. Ella hamaitzi mechaveroi olav araya. You want to take my money? Prove that you had no intention at all to use it for shechting, or that everyone never intends to shecht. And you can't prove that. Some people do, some people don't. So yes, rave, people don't, but you can't extract money, your money back for your product from my pocket. I have this money in my pocket. You want to take money out of my pocket, the onus of proof is on you, and therefore you have to prove that I cheated you, and I didn't, because I showed you an animal that was fine for shechting. Okay, roiv is not good enough. Hamaiti mechavera, you want to take money in my pocket, all of haraya. How do we know that halacha? Amar Shmuel bar Nachmeni minai and lamaiti mechavera, all of haraya. How do you know this halacha? So the Gemara initially brings a pasuk. Shenamar mi bal dvarim yigash aleim. Whoever's got the problem should come to the judges. Yagish raya aleim. You got the problem, you bring the raya. I have no problem. The money's in my pocket. I'm fine. I'm happy with the status quo. You don't like the status quo, you bring the raya. Then the Gemara says, Lamali cross Svarahu. You don't even need Xeris Akasa for this. It's so simple, it's so posh, it's so obvious, so compelling. Dekarvle Kiiva Azalabayasya. The guy who's got the problem should go to the doctor. You have an itch, you scratch. I have no problem. No. I'm good. So then if you have the problem, you go to the doctor. It's posh, it's so obvious. It's a Svara. Seicha Noishi, things that are obvious to human beings. Okay, so when it comes to money matters, Rabbeisai, you want to take money out of someone else's pocket, you have to bring a raya, and guess what is not a good enough raya? Roiv. Okay? Ain't holkim b'mamon achar roiv. So ask Tysus over here, give him a base. Why do we have a concept, ain't holkim b'mamon achar roiv? What about when it comes to nefashis? Do we follow roiv to kill somebody?
Yes.
We do. And Tysus has two proofs to this. One is a Gemara in Sanhedrin later on Daf Samach Tesamid Aleph. if you looked it up or you didn't, look over here, Samach Tesamet Aleph. The Gemara is discussing last week's parasha, Ben Sayre Umayre, the child, the rebellious child, all the details you're aware of from the Psukim, that who's 13 years old and he's on the wrong path in life. So we kill the 13-year-old. Rashi says, Yamus Zakai Val Yamus Chayev, better he be killed now when he's still innocent. Yamus Zakai Val Yamus Chayev, before he actually goes off and does all the terrible things we imagine for him. But the Gemara says that the only time he could become a Ben Sayre Umayre is from the age of 13 until how long? 13 and 3 months. Once the period of time, the window passes between 13 and 3 months, that's it, he can no longer become Ben Sayre Umayre. 14-year-old that does all this, fine, we have no problem. He's needs help, but he'll be all right. If he goes off the derech over here between 13 and 3 months, now we have a problem. After 13 and 3 months, no problem. Why? Where do we get that from? 13 and 3 months. It's only in that one window between 13 and 3 months. 13 and 1 day, 13 and 3 months. So that's from the Gemara over here. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Kruspadoi, 15 lines down, Koyomav Shoben Saramara, Eina Ela Gimel Chadoshin Bovad. It's only 3 months. That's all it lasts for. Why? Because the Mishnah says, if you look earlier, Samachesim Abbas, that the only person who can become a Ben Sayre Umayre is a Ben. So Ben Veloy Ish. He can't be a man. So the Gemara discusses, well, what's the difference between a Ben, a son, and a man? But another distinction the Gemara has over here in Samach Tesamet Aleph is a Ben Veloy Av. Only a son, not a father. If the Ben Sayre Umayre is already a father, or could, in theory, have fathered a child, no Ben Sayre Umayre. How old do you have to be to father a child? In reality, it's probably younger, but to repeat the Gemara, you know, when you're bar, the Gemara says, when you're 13, he can father a child. 13, father a child. Yeah, but the child's not going to be born right away. When will the child be born?
9 months
later. So at 9 months, in theory, it could have been a father, so it should have been 13 years and what?
9 months.
But the Gemara says, what will happen after 3 months? It will be hukar ubra. You already shall be showing. So Gemara says at 13 and 3 months shall be showing. Now is already, in theory, could have been a father. You know, father of a woman who's showing. You know, the baby is at least nikar. It's recognizable. Now already he's ben below av. He's no longer ben sarah mara. That's why you have this window between 13 and 3 months. 3 months already, he's in theory could be a father. We understand each other, Rabbi Zayn? Okay. So ask the Gemara the following kasha. We know, at least in the Gemara's understanding of biology, perhaps in the time of the Gemara, there were 2 times women gave birth. There were 9-month babies and 7-month babies. 8-month baby was automatic nephil. No way, stillborn. No way the child was going to make it. Gemara says, don't even bother being Mechallel Shabbos. It's not going anywhere. 7 months, a child can make it. 9 months, the child can make it. There were 2 times, you know, the Gemara said there was Yoledes L'Shiva, Yoledes L'Tes, Yoledes L'Ches was a nephil. So ask the Gemara, why do you assume that the child only becomes exempt from being a Ben Sayre Umayre at 3 months? The woman could be showing earlier. When could she be showing earlier? At 2 months and a third. I apologize for those who have a problem with, you know, a number comes your way, all of a sudden, turn out. But 2 1/3 months, that's a third, first trimester of a 7-month baby. So Gemara asks, why do you only exempt him from 13? At 13 and 3 months, he's out. Putter. We should exempt him earlier. When should we exempt him? 13, 2 months and a third. Maybe the woman will be your lettuce l'shiva. Yes.
The reason why it's a 7-month baby is because it's premature usually.
No, the Gemara understands, and you're talking about an hour time.
A fully healthy baby.
Yes, full term. There was full 2 times a full term, huh? The whole discussion about Tishrei and Nisan.
Yeah.
Right. So it's but in our time it's totally the Chazon Ish writes already in Ishtanu Atfoyim. It's already not the case. We're Mechallel Shabbos. 8-month babies. Make it, all my children were born in the 8th month. 7-month babies, it's a little bit harder. They already have 6-month babies. Out of time, everything has changed, as Chazon Ish says. Nishtanu atvoim, nishtanu arafuos, whatever you want to call it, whatever makes you feel more comfortable. Fine. But there's in the Gemara's time, there were 7-month babies and 9-month babies. All full term. Sefrek the Gemara Kasha, why don't you say the child is already potter from being a Ben Saramara, not at 13 and 3 months? When? 13, 2 months and a third. Let's be nicer. So look at the Gemara. Amalei le'olam emelecha. Maybe 10, 15 lines from the bottom. The last 4 words on the line. Amalei le'olam emelecha. Uber Nikar Lishlish Yameha. By a 7-month baby, you're right, the child is Nikar at 2 months and a third. But Zio Basar Ruba, what do we do? Follow the Rav. How many women gave birth, even in the times of the Gemara, to a 7-month baby? It was unique. It was odd. You know? The regular, the norm, the Rav, was 9 months. So when we want to exempt the Ben Sayra Umayra from being killed, what do? We follow the more chomer Shita, and until 3 months he's not Pater. 13 and 3 months, then he's Pater, less than that not. Why? Help out the guy. 13, the child's off the dera, help him out. 13 years, 2 months and a third, already got exempted. Let's give him a tour, come on. Says Gemara, no, Zil Basaruba. So says Taisvis, you see from this Gemara, that when it comes to Dine Nefashos, we follow right, even to be Mechayev Nefashos. We will kill the Ben Sayra Umayra. Obviously, it was only Dreish V'Kabel Schar, and that never happened, never will happen. There's only the lessons that can be learned. But, in theory, we would kill the Ben Sayra Umayra for that extra 2/3 of the month, because we follow the Rav. So Rav can kill somebody, in theory. We follow Rav by Nefashos. Another case that we follow Rav by Nefashos is the Gemara Maseches Chulin. That we shine and bring the second Raya. Look over here, Oiz Bey says the Gemara Maseches Chulin. If a person murders somebody else, what happens to him? Ritzeach, put to death. What if you kill somebody who was a treifa? What is a treifa? A treifa is a person who has a medical problem that he cannot live through the end of 12 months. If you could live more than 12 months, not a treifa. Animals were nikva. There are certain yudches treifos. But by people, the halachas of treifos are different, which is a whole shiur for another time. But the halachas of treifos generally are for someone who cannot live past 12 months. The starting point is the treifos by animals. Similar things exist by human beings. Okay? If you kill a guy, let's say, he's on death row, no, he's alive and kicking. He's a bar kayama fully. But you kill somebody who's in hospice care. He's not going to make it past 12 months. You might hate the guy, you know. You call me, one of these things. He's on his way out, but he's going to go out to, my way. So fine, you kill him, a reitzeach, So what happens to this guy? You're a reitzeach, but you kill somebody who wasn't going to live 12 months. What's the halacha of a reitzeach who kills a treifa? Is he put to death or not? No. Not a terrible person. Horrible. Rasha Marusha, but he's not put to death. You kill a treifa. So frak the Gemara Shaila, say as the Gemara, Rav Kahanya, if I kill somebody, anybody who's a murderer, kill somebody. How do you know? Maybe the guy was a treifa. You shot the guy in the brain. Maybe the guy had a tumor that you shot out of his brain. We don't know. A person stabs him in the heart. Maybe the guy had a heart irregularity, and you happen to stab him in that one spot. It's a theoretical possibility, something we have to consider. So, how do we know? Says the Gemara, maybe you could cut him open, but then the Gemara says, do we have to cut him open? Then the Gemara says, well, maybe you stabbed him in that very spot and we can't find it anymore. How do you know? Says the Gemara, we follow Rav. Elav mishum daminan zil basaruba. Follow Rav. Rav, people don't have a brain tumor right in that one spot where you shot the guy. Come on. We follow Rav. So Rav can you be used to be Machayev, someone Misas Bezdin. This guy shot this guy in the brain, he stabbed him in the heart, whatever, horrible person. But maybe the person he killed was a treifa. Says the Gemara, no, zil basaruba. We follow the Rav. Rav people do not have that physical abnormality. Okay, so says Tosfos, back to our daf, Gimel Beis. Says Tosfos, how do we have this duality? How does it exist? If our Gemara says we can follow Reb Dayanim by Mominus, we learn how to Kavah Chomer from the Farshis. If by the Farshis you don't need a unanimous psak, you follow Reb of the judges. So when it comes to Mominus, it doesn't make sense that you need a unanimous psak. Follow Reb of the judges too. As Tosfos, we have such a disparity elsewhere. We have a disparity by Mominus. By Roy, by money. When it comes to being mighty mammon from somebody, so we say ain holchem be mammon acha harayv. We don't follow the Roy, but yet by nefashis we follow the Roy. We've had the case of Ben Sarah and Myra that you follow the Roy, and another case of the treifa, the suspected treifa. We don't suspect the guy's a treifa because it's a Roy. People are not treifas. Most people live past 12 months. They don't drop dead in the 12 month span. So if that's the case, the right people are not treifas, we follow the right, and we can kill the right seach with the misas based in. So what do you see? When it comes to nefashos, we do follow right. So for ektaisvis, how can it be, ein holchem imamanacha haroiv, we should learn out, oneif bekavachayimim, dinei nefashos? We should learn out a kavachayimim from dinei nefashos. Just like we follow the majority of dayonim by nefashos that kavachayimim to mamanis, we should follow the right by mamanis with kavachayimim from nefashos. Do we understand the question? That's Tosfos' question. So Tosfos here has one answer in Sanhedrin. Tosfos Bava Kamma has another answer. So Tosfos here answers the last three lines. V'tzarech loymar, deruba l'rad yazavni loy choshev ki hanach ruba. The roiv that people buy animals to graze, as opposed to shecht, is not a very compelling roiv. It is a roiv, it's true. Roiv people buy their animals to graze, not to be slaughtered as hamburger meat. But it's not a very compelling roiv. What does that mean? Percentage-wise, it's not a very high roiv. We're not talking about a high, 95% roiv. We're talking about a 60% roiv. There are many slaughterhouses. So that roiv is not good enough to be mighty mammon. And that roiv presumably would not be good enough by nefashos either. It sounds like for Tosfos that by nefashos and by mammonis you need a much more compelling roiv, a higher percentage roiv. But you're right, says Tosfos, einachinami, basically. You can learn out roiv by mammonis from nefashos. He basically agrees. Roiv would work by mammonis if it would have been a compelling roiv. The problem is, this roiv is not very... This roiv is not very convincing. That's what Tosfos says. Why does it have to be a convincing roiv, Rabbi Yisai? We have an Issa Beheter. Let's say you have six stores. Six sell kosher meat, four sell treifa meat. And we find a piece of meat in the middle of the intersection. Where would we assume the meat came from? Assume it come from the kosher store. Let's say you have three salamis get mixed up. Two kosher salamis, one Hebrew national, treif. So you saying controversial thing? No. So you mix to get mixed up. So is it a and you pick out one salami? Is it kosher or is it treif? What do you say? We follow the roiv. It probably came from the roiv salamis. You might want to have a higher standard, but we probably say it came from the roiv and it's mutter to eat. Kosher l'mahadrin, you follow the roiv. Roiv is a real halacha. So two out of three are kosher. We assume the one that emerged can't eat all three, because then you're probably eating the treifa one. But you can eat the one that emerges. We can follow the roiv, even though it's not a 66. What is it? A 66% roiv is not from the highest of roivs. But follow such a roiv. There's nothing wrong. How come by Issa V'Heter you can follow such a roiv? When it comes to mammonis, such a roiv, how come all of a sudden now we need such a compelling roiv? Yes.
On your case, in Israel, do you need a bigger roiv, like by 160, it looks like?
That's because, let's say, a drop of milk falls into a pot of chicken soup. So there you need 160th. That's not because 50% is not good enough. It's because when it comes to food that gets cooked together, taste spreads. So the taste of the milk will spread throughout the whole pot. And in order to be mavato, a flavor, you need 60 times the amount that fell in.
That's an exception.
That's a rule called tam ki ikar. The flavor of the milk is like the milk, so it's like the particles of the milk spread out, and you can taste the milk unless you have 60 times the milk in the pot of soup. But that's not because 50% isn't good enough. That's because taste becomes like the flavor, like the item itself. But if you have dry, so I gave the example of something that's not being cooked together. They don't impart flavor to one another. You have three dried salamis. So, okay. Follow Rav. 66%. That's fine when it comes to Isa V'Heter. How come all of a sudden when it comes to Mamanis, we raise the standard? How come we need such a strong Rav? So Shimon Shkop has a sefer, two svarim, two volumes, called Shari Yosher. Pilpulish a sefer. In Yeshivish topics. So there in Shar Gimel, Perek Gimel, he suggests the following idea, and he says this becomes one of the main principles of Rav Shimon Shkop's whole hashkafa of the halachas of Dinei Mamonis became a major part of the Shari Yosher. Rav Shimon is very philosophical. They say that Reb Chaim had three Talmidim, two main Talmidim, besides the Brisker Rav, Reb Chaim had two main Talmidim. So he had, obviously besides Reb Moshe, also his son, other son. He had Reb Baruch Ber and Reb Shimon Shkop. So they say the difference between Reb Baruch Ber and Reb Shimon Shkop was if Reb Chaim would say, the table is like a cow. So he says, so Reb Shimon would start thinking, well, what's the philosophical underpinnings of the cow and the table, and to start to figure out philosophically what characteristics do they share in common. Reb Baruch Ber would get down and milk the table. So he said, Reb Baruch Ber took everything Reb Chaim said, mamish, like it was done. He didn't even think after Reb Chaim, didn't to try and understand it better. Whatever Reb Chaim said, it was like Terem and Hashemayim. There was no more discussion that was necessary. Whereas Reb Shimon was very philosophical. So Reb Shimon writes the following thing in the Shari Yosher, which becomes a major principle of his. And that is, that Dine Mamonis depend on what we decide. What is compelling to human beings. For example, the rule, HaMaitzi Mechavera Olav Araya. Says the Gemara, you want to take my money, bring a proof. Says the Gemara, what do you need a pasuk? It's a svara. Says of Shimon, that's telling us the following idea, that Dine Mamonis depend on what we determine to be compelling, or, you know, something that makes sense to us that we should adjudicate based on that. When it comes to Isa V'Heter, we have a principle, Rav, Achrei Ram Lehatois. We follow Rav. So we follow Rav. 60% is a Rav too. So if I eat the head, you follow Rav. Rav is Rav. I'm not. Who am I to say 60% is no good? But if you want to take my money, you got to have something that makes me feel like you have, you know, you got to convince people that it's your money. A 50.1% Rav is not going to convince anybody that it's your money. It's just, it's not that compelling. So it says of Shimon, that's why, Shimon Shkop, that's why by Dine Mamonis we require a higher standard. You find such a principle, he does not quote this idea, but you find such a principle in the Tshuva Chsam Sofer. Look over here in the Pisrei Tshuva Chayshim Mishpat. The Chsam Sofer discusses what's the halacha of paper money. I don't mean like monopoly money, I mean like our money that's representative value. In the olden times, money had real value. It was made out of gold. It was made out of silver. The inherent value of the money was the metal that it contained. The tzura added value to it. If it detracted value, you just melt down the coin and use the hard metal. So it must be that the coin was worth more than the metal, but at least it had real value as opposed to just representative value. All of our coins, and certainly paper money, are just representative of value. It's a value that we attribute to it, because if we print on it a 5, it's less valuable than if we would print on it 100. Because we decided. So when I give you, can I use, for let's say, halachic purposes that require money, can I use American money? Or do I need hard silver, hard gold? Something that has real value, or can I use representative value? I say, where does this come up? It could come up by
selling your chametz.
Okay, it could come by selling chametz.
So if you lend someone money, you can. If I give you a 5, you can give me 5
ones
back.
Well, let's say I want to pay, I owe something to the kohen. Can I pay him, can I pay him in paper money? If it's, or is that like a shtar? Is it like an IOU? You know, shtaris are not good for lots of things. So that's the question of Chsam Sofer discusses. What's the halacha of paper money? So the Chsam Sofer writes, whenever it comes to something that's been adum lechaveroi, paper money is valid. Because monetary transactions depend on what we decide and what we attribute value to it. Whatever we decide, that's what is money. We decide it's money, haste us, it's money. He says, by pitting our ben is the one time he thinks paper money is no good. Pinin Abenya being paid to the Bechor from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ribbono Shel Olam asked for 5 Slum Kesef. He did not agree to the American tender system. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, you got to use real silver. So then you can't use paper money. Others disagree even with this. But Chassam Sofer says, when it's Bein Adam L'Makom, no. Bein Adam L'Chavera, Dine Mamna, so whatever we decide, whatever we contract between one another, that is what runs and operates in Dine Mamna. So Sotu says of Shimon, that's what's going on over here. By Rove, by Isurin, yes, you can have an inferior Rove. 60% Rove. Fine, it's a Rove, it's a Rove. Who am I to distinguish? But when it comes to Dine Mominus, no, then you have to have a superior Rove. It has to be a Rove Ma'aliyah, something that convinces people that you owe him money. If that's the case, though, then writes Rabbi Akiva Eger, and the truth is Rabbi Akiva Eger, let's say you had a very convincing Rove. Could you be motzi money based on a very convincing roiv? He writes, if you have a roiv gomer, maybe einachinami holchem b'mama nacha roiv. That's like this Tosfos. The only reason roiv ruba l'raja kaima, that I bought roiv people buy animals to graze and not to shecht, is not, you can't be motzi mammon based on that, is because it's a weak roiv. But einachinami, if you would have a stronger roiv, you could be motzi mammon. And he has a raya to this. Rabbi Kiva Eger has a raya from a Gemara Baba Basra. Somebody said, look over here, Oiz Dalin. Says the Gemara Baba Basra, Amarish Lokish. Hakaveyaz man lechaveh. I give you money and I say, pay me back by, let's say, I don't know, the 31st of August. Or let's say, sometime in the future. I say, pay me back by Tu B'Shvat. Amarish Lokish, Hakaveyaz man lechaveh. Okay, Rabbi said, I lend you 100 grand, pay me back Tu B'Shvat. I come to you in the middle of November and I say, or I come to you at the end, Tu B'Shvat, I come to you, I say, give me my money back. You say, what are you talking about? I paid you Sukkot time. I paid you in November. I paid you in October. So says the Gemara, come on. Halavai sheyipari bizmana. Halavai, people should pay loans on time. You're saying you paid it early? Chazaka loy avid inish depar begoz ma'zimne. Nobody pays loans early. It's tippish to pay a loan early. Makes no sense. Nobody does it. Nobody hands in homework assignments early. Nobody does these things. You're a mishigna if you do it. So says the Gemara, we will be mighty mammon based on that right. Meaning you come, you say, I don't owe you money. I paid you already. The lender says, well, you owe me money. It's Tu B'Shvat, 100 grand, pay up. You say, I paid already. Says the Gemara, nice try. Rive tells us nobody pays early. And since nobody pays early, guess what we're going to do? Take again 100 grand. So what do you see from the Gemara? If you have such a compelling rive, then nobody pays early will take the money from your pocket. So Akiva Eger says, you see, for me, if you have a very, very compelling roiv, and achinami, it could be my team mama based on the roiv. Yes?
Why are we here? In the hours we get, why is this roiv so compelling? We say we learn from...
No. Tais is asking the following question. Here we follow roiv zayonim, and we say kal b'chaymer from the fashas to mamanis. Okay? So says Tais, once you're going to start making kal b'chaymer from the fashas to mamanis, it sounds the same, but they're really not. Says Tosfos, let's make a rive by extracting money and killing people, which is really very different than Dayanim. Those are two separate topics. Says Tosfos, once you can make a Kavah Chaymer by Dayanim, let's make a Kavah Chaymer elsewhere between Nefashos and Mamonis. And that is, if by Nefashos we follow rive to kill people, why can I extract money based on a rive? Not rive Dayanim, rive is a proof. Confusing because they're similar, but
the
really rope, not the same.
The rope dayanim were pertinent to a mammon case, correct?
Yes. Tosfos and Bava Kamma is going to mix the two. He's going to confuse what I just said are two separate things. Tosfos is going to confuse them. So they are the same. I guess you have to say, if you want to confuse it, I mean, if you want to say that really two are really the same, rove dayanim is the same as rove benefashas. So we should learn out Rav Dayan by Mammon is why can't we follow a Rav when it comes to Yibayt Zim Mammon? I mean, if they're all the same Rav, so I guess you'd have to say, here's a compelling Rav. Yeah. But you're saying it's just 66%. But. Okay?
I'm confused there. So the Gemara is talking about Rav Dayan, and we're trying to transfer that over to Rav in terms of the evidence of the case?
That's what Tosfos initially asks. And Tosfos says, basically, you can if it's compelling. The one case time that the Gemara says you can't is by Ruba Laradia, rove people buy animals to graze. That's because it's not a compelling proof.
We don't apply this back to Kini Lamanos. We don't say you didn't need a compelling rove among the Dayanim. We're not going to
go back. We didn't say that, no. Okay. We didn't say that. Okay, but that's this Tarsus here in Bava Kamma, in Sanhedrin. Tarsus in Bava Kamma, which does confuse this issue, makes it worse. Tarsus asks in Bava Kamma the same question. Tema, says Tarsus, Matam ein hochin, why don't we follow the roiv by money? Lazy, bakava chomer, mi dine nefashis. Let us learn it out of bakava chomer from dine nefashis, like our Gemara says over here on Gimel Amud Beis, that we follow Roiv Dayanim by Nefasha, so till we follow Roiv Dayanim, you don't need a unanimous psak when it comes to Dine Mominis. So how come we can't use a Roiv to extract money just like we kill somebody based on a Roiv? So the Gemara, so Taisus answers the following, V'yesh Loimar, the Hasam Gaba Dayanim Shiny. Here Taisus confuses them. Here Taisus says, our Taisus that's distinguishing between compelling roivs and non-compelling roivs will have to say that those are two separate things. This is very technical. I hate doing this. But we'll have to say that these are two separate things. Using roiv as a proof to kill somebody or to take their money is different than roiv dayonim. So just like we have a roiv by dayonim, Taisus is asking, we learned out of kava chomer from the nefashos to money, we should have learned out of kava chomer from the nefashos to money to use roiv as a proof. Taisus and Bava Kamma is putting them all together. So Taisus says, v'yesh loimar, the Hasam Gabi Dayanim Shiny. This case of the Dayanim is entirely different from every other Rive. You can't now say, well, if we have a Rive by Nefashis as proof, let's have a Rive by money. How do you know you make a Kavachimer from Nefashis to money? Well, you see that in our Gemara, you make a Kavachimer from Rive Dayanim by Nefashis to Rive the Dayanim by money. So Taisa says, no, you can't do that. This whole discussion of Dayanim is all different than everything else. The minority is gone. See, normally when you have a roiv, let's say. Rabbi, so you have a roiv. So you have a roiv, stores are kosher. Miut are treif. So you have a miut. The miut is there. Most women give birth 9 months. There are some who give birth to 7. There is a miut. So when it comes to money, you can't extract money based on a roiv, because says Taisus, what happens? You have 2 against 1. You have a roiv that says, you owe me money. For example, I should get a refund. Roiv people buy animals to graze, not to shecht. And your animal was a horrible grazer. So to make a chtos, he was very aggressive. I want my money back. That's true. Okay, you have a roiv, but I have 2 things. What does the buyer, the seller have? The seller has, number one, the money's in my pocket. That's called a cheskas mamon, status quo. Chazaka, the money's in my pocket. We always in halacha assume status quo's continue to function until we know otherwise. So the monk said, money's in my pocket. I have a chazaka. And I have a miut of people who buy the shecht. So I have 2 things on my side. I have a miut and a chazaka. You have a roiv. Simple mathematics. 2 beats 1. That's what Taisa says. Sounds like ridiculous. All right, chelm, but that's what Taisa says. V'yeshloimer, the hazim gavet dayanim shani, the chashim miyutid hu kamisha'eno. By dayanim it's different because the miyut is not there. V'lekul lemei ma hasam uki mamayna b'cheskas mare. I have the money in my pocket. Da beiz din maaf kimine. Avagabishar mamon de'ika miyut v'chazaka lo yazlina basaruba. By other money where there's a miyut and a chazaka, you can't take money out based on a roiv because the other guy's got the minority of the roiv and a chazaka. That's 2 things. All you have is a roiv. Roiv people buy to graze. I want a refund. He says, well, I have 2 things. The money's in my pocket and I have a miyut, people who buy to shecht. So he's got 2 against 1. It beats me. But the roiv by dayanim is entirely different. We can only learn out of kava chomer from the fashos. To Dine Mamon is by Dayanim, because by Dayanim there's no miut. There is no minority at all. Meaning, when a Beis Din paskins a Shiloh, so the miut, Dayanim, are gone. Beis Din imposed the Psak entirely as one unified unit. The way the Achrayim understand this Taisus is the following. Shari Yosher, Shimon Shkap also has in the Shari Yosher. Rabbi Yosef Engel has it as well in the Beis HaOitzer. They understand Tosfos be saying the following. When Beis Din issues a psak, it comes in two stages. Beis Din issues a psak, they decide amongst themselves. Okay, they're sitting around the table, 12 angry men, deciding what should we do. Some say yes, some say no, some say this, some say that. It takes place in the jury room. Then they come out with a verdict. So in the jury room, they come out, let's say it's a Beis Din of 3, 2 against 1. A Beis Din of 23 by nefashes, so it's 12 against 11. And they come out, or whatever, 13 against 10. And they come out, l'chiyuv, the guy's chayv misa. So the only time a roiv is relevant is when deciding what the psak is going to be. But when they level the psak on the individual, that comes as a unified unit from all of them together. The psak comes in two stages. If you remember, we mentioned a few days ago that when Beis Din paskins, it's different than when a Talmid Chacham paskins. When a Talmid Chacham paskins a Shiloh, there's only one stage. He tells you what the halacha is. You want to be a religious Jew, I'm telling you to do the following. But all I'm doing is telling you what the halacha is. When Beis Din paskins, it comes in two stages. Number one, they decide what the halacha is. Then they impose it on the individual. It's on this case. Says Tosfos, the only time we follow the roiv by Dayanim is in deciding what the halacha is. That's not dinei nefashos. That's deciding what the halacha is. Deciding what halacha is. Now we're going to kill somebody. That's all of us together. That's not a roiv. So says Tosfos, really, we never followed Roiv by Nefashos, that we're learning out from Roiv of Nefashos to Roiv of Mammonis. Nah, there really never was a Roiv by Dayanim ever, because the Roiv by Dayanim is really not a Roiv. That's everyone speaking with a unified voice. Ah, you follow Roiv in order to arrive at a Psak? Says Tosfos, that comes in two stages. Beis Din decides what the halacha is in the Olam of theory. What is the halacha? That's not nefashos. No one's being killed. You know, over here, like we live in the ivory tower. Some accuse us of it. We just talk about. We don't actually do anything. So we just decide what is. Then someone actually comes and paskin based on this. They actually have to implement what we say. That's nefashos. That's money. But when it comes to that stage, Beis Din speaks with a unified voice. So there really is no roiv here that we can say, well, if we follow roiv dayanim by nefashos, why can't we follow roiv by money? Tosfos says, no, we don't really follow roiv by nefashos. You don't kill the guy based on the roiv. You decide what the halacha is based on the roiv and kill the guy altogether. You follow? That's Tosfos' teretz. Just to give a little bit more teichen to it, to see where this concept comes from, look at this Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchos Sanhedrin, famous Rambam, infamous. The Rambam writes the following: Dine mamenes v'chein hatumas v'chein ha'aros ha'avu b'noi harav v'talmidoi moinin oisam b'shnayim. When you are having a din of dine mamenes, you're deciding tuma v'tara, you have a basin gathered, and how many do you count the av and his son? Let's say a father and his son are sitting together in a basin din. Do they count as one or two? Some say, by the way, when you count, we don't do this. Sfardim do this. They count shitas. Where Bavadya does this, he lines up whenever he's passing in a shayla. So he lines up. Well, this and this many achrayim say this. This and this many achrayim say this. If the majority say one way, he follows the majority. If the majority say the other way, he follows the other way. So that's why many say you can't count like the Meiri as his own opinion. If you do in that school of counting up shitas. For Bavadi, as a rule, you can't count the Meiri as a unique opinion because he always follows the Rambam. He's like, whatever the Rambam says, Meiri is going to say. So that you don't count as your own Deah because you just follow whatever the Rambam says. So it's over here. Ha'av and Benoi, is that two? He's going to follow whatever the father says. So does he count as two? Or does he count as one?
He put it first.
Huh?
He put the son first.
Yeah. Ha'av and Benoi, Meinen Asam B'Shnayim. Says the Rambam, they count as two. Where is this? They count as two. But, says the Rambam, that's only Zeshon, second line after the period. Zeshon, umayin ha'avim ha'bein, bein be'ech, ha'bein b'shnayim, that which you count the father together with the son as part of a Beis Din, whether it's one, whether it's two. K'goyin shaya echame hem b'sanhedrin, v'asheni ha'imin ha'talmidim. One was actually on the Sanhedrin, one was his Talmud. Sha'amar yesh li lumo tzchus ha'chayva, he says, I have a unique opinion here, either the lamit tzchus or the lamit chayva. Sha'amar dvar v'noisen imo v'nimnen imoi. He's not really on the Sanhedrin, but he says he has something unique to contribute, we put him on. But, u'bishas gemar din, Ein garmin es hadin bekrivim shadayan and hakrivim psulim ledin. People, if they're krivim, they're pasul ledin. Just like you can't have a father and a son be edim on a ksuba, you can't have a father and a son sit on a basin together. So the Raivid jumps all over the Rambam. He says, Chaye Roishi! Eini Royat Tam Velo Reach Bedvar Melu. He says, these things make no sense. If when you paskin the Shiloh, the father and the son can't sit together, how can they participate in the back and forth, the Masa Umata and the Bezdin, a father and a son? They're Pasul Dayonis. How can it be? You hear the question Rabbi says? Rabbi says, father and a son count as two. When you paskin, the son should hide in the closet. Who are we fooling? They're Pasul Dayonis. So Brisker Rav explains the following. You see from this Rambam, this you cite again, that what? There's two stages. There was deciding what the halacha is in theory. There, a father and a son can pass it together. And then there was actually implementing the psak, making a chal on the individual. Again, if I pass it on a donut, whether it's kosher or treif, that's not a psak on this donut. I don't have metaphysical qualities, you know, I just zap the donut to make a treif. But when I paskin a beis din paskins, it's on this case, not just in theory. But there's two stages. There's one stage, which is in theory, what's the psak, and then how is it implemented on this individual? There, the father and the son would step away. They're two separate things. So in the Masa Umatan, deciding what the halacha is, the son and father could participate. When they paskin on the individual, came said, then they're pasul to Dayonis. Or a similar thing. We have in Maseches Ovos, you know, the first perek, keeps listing twos. Anche Knesset Gedola, then it comes in pairs of twos, which were the Av, the two heads of the Av Beis Din. So who are two of the Tanoim that I mentioned in Maseches Ovos, the two heads of the Beis Din, were Shmai and Avtalion. The problem is, Shmai and Avtalion were Gerim, were converts. So what? V'ahavtem es ager. We love the Gerim. Nothing wrong. We have no problem with the Gerim. But they asked the Taisus Yamtif on that Mishnah from a Gemara in Kiddushin. Last thing over here. The Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin, based on the Pasuk in Parashas Shoftim, Sarim tasim alecha melech, you should place over you a king, mikerev achicha, from amongst your brethren, kol mesimo shatamezim lo yu el mikerev achicha. To be appointed to a position of authority within the Jewish community, you have to not be a ger. Not that we discriminate. I mean, this is discrimination against the ger, but it's not because any bias. It's exeris hakosav. A ger cannot be appointed to a position of authority within the Jewish community. When I learned this gemara in Maseches Yevamos with the Shir, we had a guy that was in the smicha program who was a ger. I didn't know, and he came to me after Shir. He said he's no longer here. He came to me after Shir, not because of this. He came to me after Shir and he said, he's a ger. I didn't know. I told him, ger can't be. So Rav Sternbuch writes in his Chuvos van Haggis, Rav Shechter told me, Rav Bulog told me, a ger can't be a Rav either. A Rav is a position of authority within the Jewish community. He was in Smicha, he was planning on being a Popa rabbi. So, I don't think you were here then either. John, I don't think you were here before your time. So I don't know what to tell him. So I went to Rabbi Chalap, Rabbi Reis, what were we telling him? So Rabbi Chalap told me that he said the first time they had the Shai was in the 70s. They asked if Salvechik, or Salvechik said that Rabbanis is Nishkin Srara. It's not a position of authority, it's an Avdus. It's not a covet, it's you're an Eved. So he said he's also welcome to the Avdus, just like all of us are welcome to be Avodim. But it's not so poshut. Then I spoke to Rabbi Blyach. Rabbi Blyach also told me, he said, Srara means you can force people to do things. In our society, you can't force, a guy doesn't like you, he'll leave the shul. So he said, what are you going to do, force him? So he didn't think that there was a Srara involved either. I think it depends how you run your Rabbanis. Rabbi Willig runs his Rabbanis as a Srara. The other people run their Rabbanis not. But a ger cannot be appointed to a position of authority within the Jewish community. What about Shmai Vavtalion? So the Tashbait said, well, Shmai Vavtalion were unique talents. We didn't have anybody else who could push and do it. So maybe if you have no one else who can do it, something like that, but the same halachas exist by women in positions of authority, but we don't have time to get into that now. Maybe if there's no one else to do it, so maybe there's reason, like by Devorah, with Shofetis v'Yisrael, there was mamish no one else. Vayra. Shmai Vavtalim. However, it could be Rav Salvechik extended the Brisker Rav's Vort to here too. No! Shmai Vavtalim paskin in the first Masel Matan, deciding what the halacha is. Then when it came time to issuing the psak, they would hide behind the curtain. They didn't participate in that part. It comes in two parts. Psak of a Beis Din comes in two parts. Deciding what the halacha is in theory, then passing on the individual. When is it considered to be a position of authority when you're passing on the individual? To sit back in armchair, discuss what is the halacha is not a position of authority. No. What is a position of authority is to impose it on people. That's authority. They didn't participate in that part. So it could be that that's what Tysus is saying over here in Bava Kamma. Tysus is saying again, we'll have to understand Tysus' question this way, and again it's a wrinkle of a difference, but I don't want to get bogged down in the technicality of it. Tysus here seems to be asking, and in Sanhedrin, seems to be asking the following question. If our Gemara in Sanhedrin, Gimel and Beis, learns out from a Kal V'Chomer, we follow Rav Dayana by Nefashis, why can't we follow Rav? And we follow from that Rav Dayana by Mominus, why can't we follow Rav by Mominus too and extract money based on a Rav? So Tysus in Sanhedrin says, Einachinami, if it's a good Rav, you can. Why do we need a good Rav? When it comes to Isur V'Hetar, we don't distinguish between a good Rav or a bad Rav. So he says, Rav Shimon Shkop says, when it comes to Dinei Mominus, it depends on what we view as compelling. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us Dinei Mominus to adjudicate based on our Seichel. And to us, it's not compelling. It's not if it's a 60% Rav, it's not compelling. So it has to be a greater Rav. Tysus in the Bava Kamma gives a different answer. Why can't we extrapolate again from Rav Dayanin by Nefashas, Rav Dayanin by Mominus, to extract money based on a Rav? Because Tysus says, extracting money based on a Rav, there's a miut. There's a minority that still exists that buy things for Shechita. And the Chazakah, that the money's in my pocket, so the miut and the Chazakah gang up and overcome the Rav. But Rav Dayanim is entirely different. Rav Dayanim are as if the miut does not exist. Because when Beis Din issues a psak, it's everyone speaking in a unified voice. Really? But you followed a Rav in the back room. We know it was 13 to 10. What do you mean the miut is gone? Say the Achronim, no. Because Beis Din paskens in two stages. Yes, we follow the Rav in deciding what the halacha is. But when Beis Din issues the psak, it's everyone in a unified voice. So this is not really a Rav Dayanim. That we could extrapolate from a Rav Dayanim to extracting money based on a Rav. Because Rav Dayanim is different. The miut is if it's gone. Because when they, Dayanim, Paskin, all 23 speak with a unified voice. All three speak with a unified voice. When you have the Rav to extract money, you have a miut still there that's lagging and nagging behind. So the miut can join up with the Chazakah and overcome the Rav. The Chazakah status quo that the money's in my pocket, and the miut people sell things for Shechita. Buy things for Shechita. That can overcome the Rav. But a Rav Dayanim is different than the miut as if it's not there, because even though we went based on the Rav, that was in the back room deciding what the halacha is, not in implementing it. Lemaisa. Okay, so those are the two terutzim to Tysus Kasha. Okay, Shkaya Chevra. Tomorrow we're going.